If tomorrow my company goes under, I will just start another paper company, and then another, and another, and another. I have no shortage of company names.
Michael.
That's one of them. Yes.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Nothing Catchy Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Dewey. 0-4, that's me. It hasn't been the best this year. But luckily, I've got two guests with me today. So I've got Mr. Jake, who's still lifting, so I don't know if he'll say anything. He's in the gym.
Hey, yo, I'm here.
And then Elijah's here as well, again. Welcome, guys.
Yo.
So.
Thanks for having us, man.
I was trying to figure out how to start this episode, because there's a lot of emotions that happened, and I think it's best if I start talking about my team and just how terrible it is to start 0-4. I don't really see it getting much better. I had a glimmer of hope this evening when Vladdy Daddy said, "Hey, who wants Chase? I want a running back." And I said, "Me, I'll trade you." And he just shot me down and said, "I don't want anything you got." you got a crappy team. So yeah, I'm 0-4.
Mike, I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's that?
Have you thought about starting a new fantasy team and just renaming it like Michael Scott?
I thought, you know what, maybe I should just coast on this one and see if I can find like an auto draft one who's starting halfway through and see if we can just, you know, just start over. No, I have decided I'm going to win a game. I'm going to win a game. It's not a question of if, it is when. And the thing is, I actually think next week's going to be my win. And to be honest,
because of the injury bug.
Injury bug. That's right. I've been saying it. Once teams start to get hurt, it brings everybody down to the equal playing field. And then you start to get play those matchups. And there's a chance. There's a chance that I'm going to pull it off this week. We'll get into that a little bit later. But my game, just for everybody who was not paying attention, I needed the defense to just get me 10 points. 10 points. That's it. If they maintained 10 points, I would have won. It didn't matter if Debo went off the chains, but my defense got 0 points. That was
brutal, man.
That was not even good. Not good. But positive, it's my highest scoring weekend. So, you know, like I said, on the upward trend, you know, Kirk Cousins and Kirk Cousins we trust. He got me the most points in my QB position all year at 12. So So we're moving in the right direction. I think next week there's a lot of really good options of potentially high-scoring QBs on the waiver wire, so I'm going to take another stab at somebody out there and then just keep rotating my players around. There was another really close game, Team Hurts versus Team Mess. That one was really close and came down to the wire. Team Hurts needed San Francisco to keep doing great things on defense, and they just needed what was that, one more sack or one more interception, and they would have probably won that game.
And Mike, I don't know if you were watching that game. San Francisco dropped probably three other picks and a pick six.
So, oh my word!
Wow,
that hurt. That hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really close one, and then. Jake, you actually had a pretty close game too. Team Fritz and yourself, you know, within 6 points, that's not bad. You pulled it off.
I was sweating a bit there, but pulled it off. I came back. I was down 12 going into Monday Night Football, and ended up getting just enough.
Yeah.
There were a couple of times I think you guys were within like literally half of a point of each other.
Well, Elijah, there was actually one point where George Kittle, who was Fitzy, that was who he had playing, he had a touchdown. They gave him the touchdown, and it brought us within like 0.2 of a point of each other. And then, thankfully, praise the fantasy gods, Kittle's left foot was out of bounds, no touchdown.
Wow, yeah, that's crazy. So. I wanted to tell you guys and share with you guys my retarded moment because I definitely get this reward. And it's kind of I'm the only one who gets to see these things on my side, so I don't know if there's any things like this that happens during the week for everybody else. So if anybody has something like this themselves, let me know, and you are welcome to put in your application for the full-on retard of the week.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Why I'm kind of retarded this week is I had a trade offer from Naughty Reads Naughty Boys. He was going to send me CEH. Who he wanted back was who did he want? He wanted the Jets wide receiver. Hold on, I gotta bring up my roster here real quick, just so I can make sure I get the names right. The Jets wide receiver Garrett Wilson, and he wanted David Montgomery, Cordell Patterson. And I was like, what really hung me up is I didn't want to give up Garrett Wilson. I wasn't sure.
Who presented the trade?
He presented the trade to me.
Who was it?
Which oh, team? Naughty Boys. So Doug.
Oh, Doug. Okay.
And he was going to give me CEH. And I was like, you know, I was really close on pulling the trigger on it. And then I said no. I was like, no, I'm not sure if I trust in CEH actually doing well or if they're going to do a good this week, specifically against Tampa Bay. Well, Cordell Patterson's on IR. And Garrett Wilson did okay. But CEH did really, really well. So I would have won my week if I would have accepted that trade. So another reason you never know. Yeah. Like whenever you look at a trade, you know, this is to you, Vladdy Daddy. This is my message to you. You look at my team and you say, you know what? I don't want any of your running backs. Your running backs are terrible. They're junk. Who would want that? And I agree with you. To a certain extent, they're pretty terrible. However, you got to look at the potential. You got to look at what could happen a few weeks out from now. There's a chance. I got Alvin Kamara. He's done nothing. Maybe you want Alvin Kamara. I don't know. You know, Leonard Fournette, he even though he only got 3 carries, he still got 14 points last week. You know, there's endless possibilities. He could be good if he got some more and then maybe a touchdown, you know?
You definitely have some solid middle. I feel like you've got some solid middle of the pack running backs. And honestly, I don't know that, like, I feel like running back, generally speaking, has been a little bit of like a hard one to land and a little bit inconsistent so far this year.
It's been a real letdown.
Like, it's been a week. I mean, it's been a weak position week to week, I feel like, too. Like, usually, I feel like running backs are usually where I feel like you can carry a team. And it's not been that case. Like, you've been lucky to get high teens, I feel like, for the most part. And if you get a running back in the 20s, like, you're doing well this year.
Yeah.
Exactly. I second that, Lige. Austin Eckler, who was my first-round pick, 20 touchdowns last year. 0 touchdowns through the first 3 weeks. Thankfully, this last week he popped off against Houston, got me 32 points. But, yeah, weird.
Yeah. So I think once the weather starts getting colder, that's when my team's going to start becoming a lot more dangerous. Because I think that's when the teams are going to start running a lot more. But we'll see. We'll see how it all plans out and stuff. But I definitely get that retard of the moment because I had the perfect trade lined up, and I guarantee you he won't accept that trade going back again. So yeah. Let's go ahead and check out some news.
Don't watch the news. If I'm a kid, and apparently every time
all right, news. What's going on with the news? Well, there's a lot of injuries in the wide receiver spot, a lot of injuries in the running back spot.
Don't I know it?
Yes. So we'll start with the small one just because it's quick and easy. Quarterbacks. There was a number of injuries that came out, but none of it really affects our league too much. Dak Prescott still coming back from the thumb injury. And honestly, the way Cooper Rush is playing, they may not want to bring him back. Tua finally is getting sat with the concussion. That was a really bad hit if anybody watched it. Yeah, he should not have played.
Okay. Also, did anyone see the comment that came out? Was like, well, if he continues to take hits like that, I'm like, he's playing the game of football. He's going to continue to take hits like that.
Right, yeah. No, he's going to take hits, but I think he there's no way he should have played within 4 days.
I 100% agree.
I said that as soon as I saw the Buffalo game and when he staggered, my wife was sitting there and I was like, he has a concussion. He needs to be out. Like, he shouldn't come back in. Then he comes back in. I was like, well, that's not okay. And then 4 days later, the average, there's some podcasts listening to this last week, the average time to heal from a concussion is 10 days. That's the average. Oof. So, like, wow. Bare minimum is you should, the NFL should have a rule that if they have a concussion or show those symptoms, they're out for a week, period.
But it wasn't a concussion. It was a back injury, Mike.
That's right. Yeah. It was a back injury.
Like, I don't have a medical degree, I'm going to have to disagree.
Yeah. I mean, but I watch, you know, I watch MMA on the weekend.
That's right.
And I think that's like exactly it. Like, you got to change the rule then. To say, like, whatever, concussion protocol, of course, you know, the neurologist has been fired and they made him the fall guy. Yeah. And they said that he made a bunch of mistakes. They're just trying to save face, and it's a bunch of BS, and we know it.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like, that's just, come on. No. And I think that's, like, the thing. Like, I think now they're going to probably change the rule to be, like, anything, like, visibly concussed or, you know, stumbling or whatever, which is probably appropriate. It's just, like, they're trying to save face now.
Yeah. So he's out. He's been ruled out for sure week five. So Teddy Bridgewater is going to probably take over for him. Mac Jones.
Old Two Gloves Teddy.
Mac Jones was out last week. His ankle was pretty severe. I mean, he looked like he was dying when they carried him out last week or 2 weeks ago. He could be back. But
didn't he play some? Am I making that up?
No, he was ruled out, but their backup, Hoyer, played, and he got injured.
Okay.
And so then
that's how they got to third string. I was like, how did they get to third string?
Yeah, Zippy or Zappy. Have you seen the pictures, by the way, of Mac Jones and this third stringer next to each other? They look exactly the same. Oh, it's so funny because, like, there's all these memes about Belichick who cloned Mac Jones for their third stringer.
You know what? Like, here's the thing. That game, I watched that game, obviously in market for that game. It's like, Vikings and Packers most weeks, but up here, if they're playing at different times, like, they almost won that game. Like,
they did.
They played some pretty solid football, really. I was, you know, obviously being a Vikings fan, I was pulling for New England to win just because I don't think that they're going anywhere or doing anything over in the AFC this year anyway. But, I don't know. I just look at it and I'm like, okay, like, you're at home, Packers, and you can't put away a third string quarterback.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe I keep calling him Zippy, but I don't remember his name, but it was something like that.
I think it's Zap. Zap. Or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. It's like Zappe, I think.
Yeah.
Zippity doodah.
Yeah, Zippity doodah.
Something like that.
I was hoping.
He threw some lasers, man. He was throwing some darts out there.
Yeah, the fantasy footballers, when I was listening to their podcast, they were talking about it. They said they were having a lot of fun watching that game. Anytime he passed it, they were like, zap, zip, zap, zoop, zap. I was like, nice. Like, pew, pew. Yeah, besides the point, nobody's going to pick him up or anything like that. But
no.
If they are worried, you know, Mac Jones might be out as well. Moving on to the wide receivers, kind of going to hit him for a little bit. Treylon Burks, he has a foot injury. There's potential that's an IR. They haven't put him on IR yet, but there's a chance of it. He's the number one wide receiver for the Titans. I don't know if anybody's actively playing him, though, but he was actively getting better. He had more targets, more shares of the plays and stuff. And so, you know, he could have been somebody that somebody was keeping an eye on. But he's going to be out for probably a week or two. Amon St. Brown is still out. That one you know very well.
Yes, unfortunately. even though I feel like my bench isn't terrible, like, and I had drafted a lot of wideouts, like, that's just, I don't know. I probably made some wrong decisions, I guess, on how I decided to do my lineup on that one. But yeah.
Yeah, but you can't replace Amon St. Brown. Like, he's been pulling.
No, you can't. He's been playing wide receiver one.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he's consistent. He's been consistently putting up wide receiver one numbers.
Yeah.
I had a question regarding wide receivers for you guys.
Yeah.
Is it true that DK Metcalf was carted out to use the restroom?
Yeah. He tweeted about it. He said he couldn't waddle, like, that waddle wouldn't have saved him, you know. So he called the cart out so he could go and poo.
That's awesome.
Wow.
I mean,
that's pretty awesome.
Mad props to him for owning it, though, because he could have just let it ride. Like, he could have just been like, oh, yeah, I just got dinged up a little bit, no big deal, whatever. But no, he, like, full-on owned it. Like, yep, I'm in here pooping. couldn't handle it. So no, he didn't make the injury report for the record. I didn't stick him on there for the abnormally large poo or something. Keenan Allen, he's potentially coming back. He hasn't played since week one. His hamstring was the issue. Hamstrings usually are notorious for taking a while to get back. But he's also usually pretty injured. The reports were saying that he might come back week five. So if you have Keenan Allen, he probably will be a good start anyway. So kind of keep an eye on his status. Jahan Dotson, he has a hamstring as well. Again, kind of week to week, could miss some time. Depends on the severity of a hamstring. Jameson Crowder with the Buffalo Bills, he fractured his ankle. Again, nobody's probably playing him, but the reason why I wanted to mention it is it does affect potentially who you may want to go after for some targets and stuff. He fractured his ankle and he's done for the year, so Jameson Crowder's out, which means Isaiah McKenzie is somebody you may want to keep an eye on. He is the third target. However, who's number two for Buffalo's wide receivers?
Gabe Davis.
He hasn't actually been doing very well in terms of very many targets. He's been nursing an injury himself. So if you're really in need, Isaiah McKenzie might be that wide receiver if you're wanting to try to have a piece of a high-powered offense. He may be that piece you want to look for to grab for wide receivers. Any other notes or comments about wide receivers?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not really.
Yeah, it's been pretty pretty straightforward and stuff. Running backs. So we have a number of pretty big running backs that are heading out now. Jake had a question for you. Oh, after the pod.
Well, no. That's just after the pod. Yeah. No, that's good.
So running back.
I mean, these are high profiles. These are all number one.
Yeah.
RB1 players too.
Yeah.
Really.
Cordell Patterson,
like RB2 in some cases.
Cordell Patterson's out. He's on IR already, but he's expected to return. So that's a minimum of 4 weeks that he's gone. What's kind of a bummer is he really was their main workhorse. They split carries between two different people this last weekend, and it really didn't do much. Like, they were not very successful. So I wouldn't want any part of his backup. Like, he's just on IR, and it is what it is, I think.
And they're just like, I mean, I have not watched the Falcons, right?
Yeah.
I have not watched a Falcons game, but I have Pitts for tight end, and he's done nothing. I mean, he's only gotten to double digits once. He's mostly gotten like one to two targets every week. And so I think, like, even with Cordero Patterson being out, like, that has not increased the tight end workload. Like, I don't know what their offense is structured around, but it's sure not structured around tight ends, and I wouldn't really trust it, I guess. I've not seen them, so I don't think that, but just looking at them on paper, I don't think they pass much of the eye test anyway for offensive production.
Yeah, I'm wondering if actually all of the success got shifted over to Drake London, but I'm looking at his stats, and he had 7 targets and only 2 catches, and he had 2.7 points. So David just... they don't really have anything, it doesn't seem like. I really don't know what Atlanta's deal is, but their one fantasy relevant player is no longer. So I wouldn't touch Mariota. Pretty much Atlanta's toast now. David Montgomery, he's always injured. I have him on my team. I had him last year in one of my other leagues, and he was injured as well. But on the plus side is he does have a very valid backup that is, I think, actually a little bit better than him. And I would be fine if he never took the leading role back anymore. because, Herbert is really good, very good backup running back. I did pick him up, though, when I saw the injury. So Khalil Herbert, I already have him on my team. Nice. I played him last week. And he got 10 points. It wasn't anything super-duper great.
That's not bad for a flex position.
Yeah. So,
quick question. Any injury update on Michael Thomas?
Michael Thomas, yeah. Michael Thomas is day-to-day still. He's a sneaky – we'll talk about him, actually, at waiver wire.
Cool.
So don't let me forget about him. But he's definitely – I think
he's gonna
be back.
Wait, did Doug drop him?
He did.
I thought Doug had him. Oh, I didn't know he dropped him.
Yeah, I saw that Doug dropped him. there might or might not be a waiver claim in for him on my side. Yeah, David Montgomery, he's still out, still day-to-day. But regardless, Khalil Herbert's got his stuff taken care of. This one's really sad. Javonte Williams is done for the year. So he tore his ACL and a bunch of other little things in his knee. So he is done. And what really, really sucks is he got the full workload this last game. Like, it was obvious that he was the number one, and it wasn't split between him and Melvin Gordon anymore. And Melvin Gordon has also been fumbling a ton lately.
Fumble machine, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So potentially Melvin Gordon is going to be taking over as the number one spot. So unless he can keep his fumbling from continually happening, he may or may not be worth an add. There is another backup that they brought in as well. Latavius Murray, I believe. You can keep an eye on Latavius Murray or Melvin Gordon if you want, but I think it's another situation just like Cordell Patterson where they're going to be splitting the carries, and I don't know if it's going to be worth grabbing either one of them right now. They're going to be pretty average to mid-midy, in my opinion, but I'm 0-4 as well, so don't really need to take my advice necessarily. So,
I mean, I don't know, like, right now, so Javonte Williams, that's Broncos, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they clearly have not figured out things on offense. I think you know what you're getting with Melvin Gordon, and it's not amazing. Yeah, I wouldn't probably touch a running back on that team.
Yeah, agreed. DeAndre Swift is still missing time. He's
very aware.
Yeah, very aware for you.
And also, as it turns out, that Goff now, because of Swift's injury and Amon-Ra St. Brown's injury, that everything goes to Hockenson. That killed me this week. I mean, the tight end Reed's Naughty Boys has Hockenson and a tight end put up 36 points. I think he maybe was the highest scoring single player in fantasy this week.
Yeah, and I think it's the either the first or second highest scoring tight end position ever. Like that includes
Gronk, it was insane.
Travis Kelce, like, everyone. So
yeah, I mean it's. Yeah, I mean, that's just bananas. Like, and I think that, like, for me, like, if I look at it, I'm like, okay, if I would have had my best lineup, which I didn't have my best lineup because my starters are out, but, like even then, if I would have had my best bench player starting and Hockenson would have put up a normal tight end number, like 10 or 12, then it would have been competitive this week. Mm-hmm. When you have a tight end position go off for 36, forget about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty much impossible at that point. But he's still a few weeks out, I think. I don't think he's coming back this week. But unless
I think their plan right now is to push him past the bye, which means I'm probably not going to have him as an option in my starting lineup until this year. It's not this year. They play New England this week, and then I think their bye is the following week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a couple of weeks. It's going to be 3 weeks, I think, before Swift starts the game. But I think that Amon-Ra St. Brown, they're talking about like him coming back with limited snap count this coming week. So, I mean, even limited snap count, he's probably worth moving back into the starting lineup. But yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. The other one that's kind of an interesting one is Jonathan Taylor. He wants to play this week. He thinks he's fine, but he has a high ankle sprain. So my guess is if he doesn't
play this. Good way to blow an ACL.
Say what?
I said that's a good way to blow an ACL, because I think that's like always like the leading cause of ACLs.
Yeah,
it's like a high ankle sprain when you play with it.
Whenever I hear that somebody has a heel injury, like some sort of heel tension, I'm like, oh, their Achilles is about to burst. Like, just get it about 2 weeks. And yeah, it's usually what happens. So yeah, hopefully he doesn't do anything like that, because that would be really, really bad, because he's pretty good in general. He hasn't had his amazing year yet, but still a decent running back to have. I put in an offer for him, too. I was trying to get – I literally had offers out constantly last week. I was, like, throwing anything to see if anyone would bite on anything. No one does, of course. I think part of that's because we are in an 8-team league, and everybody's teams are fairly well stacked, and there's really no incentive to change their team. And so
– yeah, that's very fair. Next year – speaking of that, next year we should for sure – we'll do at least 10.
Yeah. But and maybe we can get a deeper bench, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that will help too. I don't know. Sure. Whatever we got to do, we got to – I want to try to get some people to – my goal is to get someone to trade, somebody, even if it's just I'll trade kickers with someone. tight ends, there really wasn't any notable injuries to talk about. So I think we'll just kind of leave it right there. And then we'll just jump straight over to the waiver wires.
First floor, factory reject. Those hoes are hard to frazzle, Max. But we did our worst, and that's all that matters.
So let's find all those worst ones, people who are leftovers, all the toss-outs here on the waiver wire. Looking at QB, speaking of the Lions, do you know who has the number one offense right now in the league? That's the Lions. Yep. Jared Goff has actually been pretty serviceable of a quarterback for every week. So looking at his totals, let me bring it up here real quick. Jared Goff, he has had 17 points in week one, or 15 points week one, 26 points the next week, 13 points the next week, then 33 points the following week. So he's, yes, it's up and down, but his upside is pretty high, much higher than I thought Jared Goff could ever be. So
maybe the Rams should trade for him in the
offseason. That would be really pretty humorous, actually.
Oh, that would be glorious. Oh, man. But yeah, he's actually, in my opinion, one of the top ones to look into. There's an even grosser QB, though, if someone's looking to stream a QB this week. Really, I feel like I'm only talking to myself here on this one because everybody else has got, like, great QBs. But the disgusting one that could be really good here is Geno Smith. Geno Smith, they have a terrible, terrible defense. And because they have a terrible defense, they are passing a ton. And he, too, has actually been fairly serviceable with a 17-point week, an 18-point week, and a 31-point week. So the only time he had a bad week was against San Francisco. And he's going up against New Orleans. So, like, that New Orleans has a pretty good defense. Mike, what?
He's actually completing – Geno Smith is completing 77% of his passes. That's crazy. Actually set the record for highest percentage through the first 4 weeks of a team's schedule.
See? Exactly.
That's wild.
It doesn't feel
77%?
Good.
77%? That's just crazy. And I still can't believe that the Seahawks are starting Geno Smith. I mean
– he was supposed to be a Chief back in 2013.
Yeah, right? Well, instead of Mahomes.
It's so bizarre to me because, like, I feel like he went to the Jets. He did just like every other Jets quarterback, like, didn't fare well. This is here I am on podcast number two and picking on the Jets again. but, like, didn't do well. And then his name literally vanished from, like, existence, I feel like. Like, no one talked about him. Like, I legit thought he had retired. And the next thing I know, I'm watching, like, whatever, were they Monday Night Football a couple weeks ago? One of the primetime games, and I'm like, what? Geno Smith?
Beating, you know, the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson.
It was just one of those super bizarre instances where you're just like, what am I watching right now? I didn't even know this guy was still in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's been playing well.
He has. He really has. So it won't feel good if you need to play him, but I think he potentially could be a good one only because the Seahawks will always be in shootouts. And if you're always going to be in a shootout, you have a high percentage chance of garbage time and a garbage touchdown, you know?
True.
So
who is DK rostered right now?
Say it again?
Who has DK?
Yeah, who has DK? Has he been balling? I haven't been paying attention to his stats.
Let me look him up real quick. DK. Nope, I got to do Metcalf. There we go. He is on somebody's team. It looks like he is on Manager J with a dollar sign. So I'm not sure.
Oh, that's J Money. That's Jared.
Oh, okay. So J Money's got him. He's been actually getting much better. The first 2 weeks he had 5 points each week, and then the last 2 weeks it's been 14 and 18. So
nice.
They've been starting to make a connection there. So might be worth, you know, like I said, tossing him on your bench if you, because we have bye weeks coming up here in a few weeks. So Geno Smith, these little QB sections might start to be kind of valuable for people. The next one I want to talk about is Trevor Lawrence. He's another one that I am keeping a very close eye on because he was doing great week one, week two, week three. He hit the buzzsaw of the Philadelphia Eagles and did terrible. And so,
and yet they almost won a game. I mean, they gave the game away, but it was close.
Yeah, exactly. It was week four that he hit Philly. So week 1, 13, week 2, 18, week 3, 25. Again, and remember, from my perspective, those are all great numbers because I'm not hitting those numbers for the first few weeks. I wasn't even hitting double digits with my QB for the first 2 weeks. So when I see that, like, I think that's pretty good and has a high potential. And his next games are Houston, Indy, Giants, Denver, Vegas. So, like, he's going to have some pretty good matches, I feel like, coming up. So he might be one to grab and stick on your bench if you're going to be having a bye week here in the next few weeks. This next one, oh, man, this is, I think, is going to be potentially the start of the week, and you really should probably be a guaranteed 20-pointer. But I wouldn't want to start him. It's either Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston, whoever the New Orleans Saints QB is. They are going to do great against Seattle. Seattle literally doesn't have a defense.
What have the offenses? I mean, that would be actually an interesting question. Would be like, what have the QBs been scoring, like, on average against a given team? Because to your point, like, that's kind of managing, like, almost playing, like, money ball, right, for fantasy. Like, this is just the matchup, the key matchups, and then you just trading in and out of those key matchups and just follow that all the way along the line, which... Because I don't think, like, you know, Jimmy G, I'm sure, is available for whenever they play him. But I think that's an interesting strategy, specifically against the Seahawks defense.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can do a real quick game here. Week one, they played Denver, and Russell Wilson didn't do very good that week, I don't think. But we can chalk that up to the fact that it was his first game.
He was playing so bad that week.
Yeah, first game, he was back in Seattle. A lot of emotions there. Week two was San Francisco. Week three was Atlanta and then Detroit. So in regards to Detroit, Goff put up 33 points. So then who's the – let's go with Atlanta. Let's go look at Mariota. So Mariota, when he played Seattle, he put up 15, which is the highest he's put up all season. The Saints, he put up 19. So it was one of his top ones against them. And then who's the other one that they played? Let's look at – oh, actually, that wouldn't be good because that was week two, Trey Lance. And Trey Lance got hurt right away. So I don't think that's going to be a good comparison. But
I'd be curious to know what did Jimmy G score that week. It'd be a weird one, but
– yeah, Jimmy G, he put up against that game.
In Denver, he scored 8 points.
Oh, no, against Seattle. He put up 16.66, which was his highest.
I mean, that's pretty decent then.
Yeah, so you're averaging 15 points guaranteed, it seems like. That's the low end against Seattle.
Yeah, and then if you actually get a quality QB against that matchup, like, you're going to do pretty well probably.
Yeah, so I don't know. Might be worth it. It also might mean my Alvin Kamara might actually do something this week. Fingers crossed. Comes off of his injury, goes against Seattle, and just tears it up. That's what I want to see this week. Keep those QBs in mind. Moving down to running backs. This is Vladdy Daddy. You can just ignore this section because, your team's going to pretty much die here if you don't get a running back, my friend. Have you seen Vladdy Daddy's team?
He's got Javonte Williams. Obviously, he's on IR.
Yeah, and done. He's got Devin Singletary, which he's okay.
What in the world? He, like, legit doesn't have any.
Exactly.
Wow.
He literally had those two running backs, period. And now nothing. Well, he has Raheem Mostert. Not that
he's
great.
He's playing pretty solid right now, but, like, you know, he's not a young guy, and he's not as fast as, like, he used to be by any means.
The problem is his
like,
floor.
Okay.
So his floor is 1.1 points. He was against Buffalo was 1.1. Against New England was 3.7. And his high is 9. So yeah. Not really. He doesn't not have great. A high upside and has a really low floor. So yep. What Vladdy Daddy, the person he needs to put his bid in right now is for J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins is out there. He's the Ravens' starting running back. If anybody wants to screw over Vladdy Daddy, though, you may want to look into putting in that that waiver claim. I'm not sure what waiver claim position Vladdy Daddy has right now. I know I have the number one, so if I really wanted to be mean, I could do it.
Vladdy is number four.
He's number four? Okay, so... Mm-hmm. I don't know. You better watch out, Vladdy. You got some people above you that may want to sink your team for pretty much guaranteed and or make you trade to me, Jamar Chase, for my crappy players. But how is he? I don't know how he was planning to handle bye weeks. Like, I don't know.
Waiver. I mean, that's going to be your only option. I mean, if you're sitting in the bar, you don't have anybody.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, fun fact. This is Vlad's first year. He's a pretty big football guy, but this is his first year ever doing fantasy. So
all right, I'll give him a little bit of grace. I'm busting his nuts a little bit because you know he beat me. So everybody who beats me gets a little bit of ridicule on the podcast. So
Dobbins coming off a 20-point game, huh?
Yeah. That's the thing. J.K. Dobbins is the number one.
Is that number 43, dude, or on their team? What number does he wear?
I don't know what number he wears.
I was going to say, like, they have, like, a couple, like, solid running back options, I think, on the Ravens. Like, honestly, I mean, their game is really built around the run, regardless mm-hmm. of whether it's Jackson, Dobbins, or somebody else. I watched a little bit of that game, and I was actually kind of surprised. I was like, ooh.
Did you guys see what – is it pronounced Rashad Penny?
Yes.
He popped off for 30, and I had him on my bench.
Oof.
Yeah, he – I don't know if he'll do that again.
And ultimately didn't end up mattering, so that's a plus side for you.
Thankfully, yeah.
I mean, like, my issue with, like, my team this week was just with the injuries. Like, I only had 23 total points on my bench.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I couldn't have won that game in any way, shape, or form. Like I said, maybe if I had – picked up the 4 or 5, you know, the 10 points that I could have collectively picked up, and Hawkinson would have had a mediocre pedestrian day. It would have been fine, but yeah.
Vladdy Daddy, look up J.K. Dobbins is one, or I think you're going to have your pick of Melvin Gordon or Latavius Murray if you want to grab.
I feel like Latavius Murray still on the Saints, or did they sign him over from the Saints over to Broncos?
They signed him off their practice squad this week.
Okay.
Or last week.
Gotcha.
He got some points this week, according to what was on here. Let's see if I can find it exactly. I think he had like 10 points or something like that.
What are your guys' thoughts on Nick Chubb and the Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb situation?
In what regard? Like, is what's going on? Is there something I don't know?
Just fantasy-wise, yeah. I have Hunt on my bench. Like, do I ever start him? It seems so risky.
I wouldn't start them both if you had both of them.
I think like that's the thing. Like, they're interesting. I think that Hunt's interesting. He always has that like potential, I guess you could say, for hitting a home run. But like, I think you only throw him in if you need him for like a bye week. I wouldn't really start him, I don't think.
Yeah.
Not over Aaron Jones or Eckler.
Yeah. By the way, I was wrong. He was with the Saints, Latavius Murray. In week 4, so last week, he was actually playing for the Saints. And then he got acquired by Denver somehow. So I don't know how they – like, I thought he signed him off the practice squad, but I don't know why he was active and playing last week. But he did pretty well. He had 11 carries with the Saints for 57 and a touchdown. So, it may be.
I don't know. The Vikings have the spongiest. Like, that's a good strategy, to be honest. Like, if you go look at running backs that's played the Vikings, like, obviously, that's been a super frustrating point watching the new defensive scheme that Donatell's running. But, like, it is. been giving up. I'm not even kidding. I bet that running, like opposing running backs against the Vikings, are probably giving up six yards a carry. I bet on average,
which is why it's such a bend, pain.
It's a bend don't break defense, which is just like painful to watch, because it's like you give up tons of yards and you get into the red zone and you tighten up. That's basically the kind of football that they're playing right now.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously a whole bunch of reasons supposedly for that, but yeah, so I mean, it's not a bad strategy to just be like, okay, cool, Vikings play the Bears, so then like your guy on your bench, the second string, I mean, he's starting maybe for you right now, the second string running back for the Bears, like he's probably gonna have a great week this week.
Yeah,
like I honestly, just because the Vikings give tons of yards,
it's again one of those situations. My team, my running backs are all playing like some really great matchups that I'm like, if my team doesn't go off, my running backs don't go off this week, then I don't think they ever will. But yeah, Latavius Murray is the other one that you can look into. Other than that, it's gonna be a pretty big stab in the dark for everybody else. Heading over to wide receivers, I still think Zay Jones with the Jags is somebody to keep an eye on. He had 11 targets last week, so if you're needing a wide receiver, 11 targets and a touchdown, so. The Jags,
other than the meltdown of 5 turnovers for Lawrence, like they're really solid.
They are.
Like, yeah. Like surprisingly solid looking this year so far.
It's a bummer Jake had a dip, because the next guy I want to talk about was actually one he was asking about, Michael Thomas. He's playing the Seahawks. So, again, a sieve of
probably
a defense.
Good pickup if he's healthy.
Exactly. So he could have a monster game this week. There actually was a part of me that thought about making Michael Thomas my number one pick and then grabbing like one of the whoever the quarterback is. So I would have Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, and that guy in hopes to score
triple
massive
threat. Yeah. Every point that the Saints can get. And is that at home?
Three.
Are they playing? Where are they playing? Are they playing at New Orleans? Are they playing
let me see here.
In Seattle? Because I feel like that makes a difference. Like
it's
I feel
at
like
home.
The. I feel like Saints are a much better home team
yeah.
than they are away team, especially they're great now. I don't think they're a very good away team.
Yeah. My big thing is I think Al Davis is a terrible coach, and I think he's what's hurting the Saints, honestly, the most. So
yeah.
But yeah, he's there. He potentially could be available. So if anybody's looking for it, could be a steal of a wide receiver right now that's on the waiver wire. I mentioned this guy last week as well. And he came up with 8 targets and 2 touchdowns last week, which is Romeo Doubs. So he's 8 targets the last 2 weeks. So each week he's had 8 targets, and then he's had a touchdown each week as well. So I think he's somebody who's gaining the trust and has the trust of Aaron Rodgers now. And he's one of those people that if you have that, he could be a top-end wide receiver for the remainder of the season. So... maybe worth taking a stab on and having on your bench if you have that roster spot available that you want to just kind of sit and see for a wide receiver. Moving on over to tight ends, Mo'Ali Cox, he is a red zone giant. So we've been getting tons and tons of red zone targets. He had 2 touchdowns this last week. He had 1 touchdown last week. So They very well could keep doing that. I think that's at the detriment of Taylor, though, Jonathan Taylor, because he's not getting the goal line anymore.
Right.
But still, it's showing that he's really, really tall and really, really big and a complete mismatch, and all they have to do is just throw it up like, you know, NBA style, and he can get it. So if you're playing the touchdown kind of game, he won't get you a lot of yards, but he might get you multiple scores each week. Yep. Tyler Higbee is still available. He was there. A lot of people were talking about him. A lot of the different analysts are saying, hey, keep an eye on him, keep an eye on him. I'm not a really fan of the big Rams defense. Maybe I'm just really like jaded based upon the two games I've watched of theirs. I would probably avoid that offense unless you're desperate personally right now. And then the last one, which I did not think I would actually ever have to advise people to try and get, is Will Disley with the Seahawks. He's had a touchdown, I think, 3 of the 4 weeks. They're targeting him.
That's pretty good.
That is really, yeah. I mean, my thing is if you get a tight end and they score a touchdown, just a touchdown, no extra yards, they're going to be in the top 10 of all tight ends for the week. So,
yep.
Like, it's kind of like if you find the person who's just going to be that red zone touchdown target, and you might as well just grab them and stick them on there. I mean, Pat Freiermuth, the only reason why I haven't gone with it, swapped him out, is he's been really consistent with getting like 8 to 9 points. But yeah, if I ever have to swap out away from him, I'm probably going to go to like Will Disley or something like that. So,
yeah, I think too, like one of the other ones, like I don't think that's bad. Obviously, the Seahawks have actually been surprisingly productive. I think the other one that's available that I see that's interesting is David Njoku from the Cleveland Browns. Mm. He's not putting up a lot of points, but he's starting to get going. I think he was a pretty solid, I think he was one that was considered to be a pretty solid rank, you know, overall with a lot of high-end potential. He scored 19 points versus Pittsburgh with 9 receptions on 10 targets and a touchdown. Didn't get in the end zone versus Atlanta this past week, but still had 7 targets with 5 receptions and 73 yards. So he's still getting good. Some yardage.
Yeah.
So I think that's the other one that I would say I think is a decent target. I think, you know, Higbee's an interesting one. It's one, I mean, I think he's one that I'm actually kind of interested in because I think if he can get that chemistry going, like, again, I'm just looking for, like, at this point, right, like looking for marginal improvements and just saying, like, where can I swap some guys out that are just riding my bench anyway? And
yep.
Based on their performance so far this year, they're not really going to earn themselves a starting spot over my existing, like, wide receivers or running backs. That's kind of where my brain's, you know, personally going.
Yeah.
You know, just from that perspective, the one believer move that I made over the last week when I picked up Alexander Mattison, I didn't start him. I should have. I decided with Swift out, I ended up starting Tony Pollard, who scored me a whole 1.3 points. Versus, you know, his whole year, he'd been sitting on my bench, but he'd been putting up, let me see. I mean, this was by far his worst like week of the season so far because he had put up 3 points versus Tampa, which wasn't great, right? He wasn't used much, but then he had put up 17.8 points and he put up versus Cincinnati and 10.5 points versus the Giants. So I think he was starting to, it felt like he was starting to find, you know, his kind of spot in the offense, which he usually does. And so I started him this week thinking, like, honestly, you know, back when I lived in Texas, I watched a lot of Dallas Cowboy football games,
yeah,
whether I liked it or not. And, you know, honestly, Tony hits, like, he hits the hole pretty good, pretty solid. And I feel like he actually may even have a step on Zeke these days. Like, I actually think he's a little faster than Zeke. I think Zeke's lost some of his, you know, burst speed just from injuries and getting hit a lot and being that workhorse back. And I think that Pollard still has it, but again, he's been pretty abysmal. I should have started Alexander Mattison. He at least got himself a touchdown and had like 8.5 points or something like that on the week, which for an RB2 on the depth chart, like, that's not bad.
Yeah, he stole my Cook touchdown.
Well, honestly, as a Viking fan, like, I'm just glad that he made something out of nothing, because that play that he got the touchdown on was not designed by any, like, I think it was really designed to get to like the 3 or 4 yard line where Kevin O'Connell's shown that he's comfortable with going for it on fourth down. Like, I don't think it was meant to get in the end zone. And, gotcha. You know, he just hustled on a short pass, hustled to get it down and managed to break into the end zone. So, and that's Mattison. Honestly, in a lot of ways, I actually feel like he's been, you know, with his minimal opportunities, outplaying Dalvin Cook, honestly, on a per basis.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just watching the games, my kind of general opinion.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and I'll do the power rankings real quick and we'll wrap it up since we've been going for almost an hour now. I did do some shaking up. I think I moved some people around looked at their teams a little closer. So I didn't go just based upon points scored, because as injuries happen, teams kind of shift around. So starting in number eight slot, I'm keeping myself there. Read 'em and weep. I have not earned any movement on this power rankings whatsoever. I will take the last place. It is mine for the foreseeable future. Number seven, Team Fitzgerald, fellow non-win team. Both of us 0-4. We are the bottom of the barrel, and so nothing really going to be moving much on that. I did bring Vladdy Daddy down. Vladdy Daddy was up one last time, but I swapped him and chilling with my homies. Reason why Vladdy Daddy is because I looked closer at his depth of team, and with the lack of running backs and that injury, I think he's actually going to be hurting. And if, you know, Team Fitz or myself start winning, I could see Vladdy dropping a little bit. So in terms of strength of the entire team, that's why I dropped him a little bit. So with that being said, bumped chilling with my homies up one. So he is now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right in the middle of the pack here, 5. And then Team Mess, you are number 4. This one's a little surprising. I dropped Gritty Gritty Bang Bang from number 1 to number 3. So
I think I belong there until I get back from the injury bug. Because I mean, honestly, like, this is, I've got 2 waiver claims out. I want to say maybe on some of the guys we talked about this week, actually, just now. I got a claim out for Tyler Higbee, and I've actually got a claim out for Dobbs, for Green Bay, because I think having wide receiver and flex this year right now to me makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Just because running backs are underperforming, but until I can figure out how to get double digits production out of every position, like, I think that's a fair place to be.
Until you get Amon-Ra St. Brown back and Swift back, I got to drop you a little bit. See if you can pull yourself
super fair.
But number 2 put up Hertz Donuts. So he was number 2 last time, which means Doug Reed's Naughty Boys are number 1. I put you at the number 1. I think you earned it this week. Looking at your team, looking at your roster, the moves you've been making, you definitely, definitely earn that number 1. Congratulations for having week 5's number 1 spot for the meaningless. It's kind of like Whose Line Anyways? The points don't matter and something else, if you ever watched that show. One other thing I was going to tell people, I realized we haven't done much with the waiver wire with defenses. The reason why I'm not putting in for that DK Dobbins is Philadelphia Eagles are on the waiver. Did you know that?
Interesting.
The Philadelphia Eagles defense is on the waiver, and I am going for them. They have scored more than my QB has each week.
Wow.
And so
that's pretty wild.
Yeah. So my thought is, if I can get them, and if, you know, they have Arizona, Dallas, yes, a bye, but then Pittsburgh, rookie QB, Houston, Washington, Indy, Green Bay, Tennessee, Giants, Chicago, Dallas, New Orleans, Giants. They've got
they've got a cakewalk. I think I maybe mentioned that. Like, if you look at it, like, if you look at the remaining schedule, you're looking for winning teams, like, aside from, like, what, Green Bay? Like, I don't know if they've got a single team on there with, like, a winning record outside their division.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think anybody's for real in the NFC East, so they're just going to get knocked out when it comes to playoff time anyway. So it's just, you know, it's wild to me. And I still think that's true of the Eagles, too, realizing that the Vikings lost the Eagles, but, like, the Eagles literally tried to hand that game to the Vikings on a silver platter, and Kirk handed it right back to them every single time. So, you know, because I think that's, like, the other thing. Like, if you think about it, the only team with a winning record that they beat, I think, so far is the Vikings.
Yeah.
And then you look at their strength of schedule, and it's like most of them, a lot of them don't even have a win, and there's a good handful that currently are sitting with 1 win through 4 weeks. Like, they've got the easiest schedule in football, in my opinion.
Yeah. So that's my number 1 pick, is I'm grabbing the Eagles. So I'm going to get their defense next.
Okay.
There
you go.
This waiver wire little stint. So with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. I want to thank everybody for hanging out and sticking with us. And specifically, you know, Elijah, for joining me. It's always fun talking football with you, and enjoy the rest of the week, guys.
All right. Later.